The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along, everyone, to the Punt Podcast for the Premier League weekend with Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern. My name's Lee Phelps. Thank you to Dave Keller for standing in ahead of the Champions League and Europa League games. Did it very good. I listened to it, guys, in Gibraltar. Very enjoyable.
It's great listening. To be fair, it's good to be working with pros again. as they say all over your street, there's only one Lee Phelps.
Manchester City versus Arsenal. Great start to the Premier League weekend. 12:45. 4-5 Manchester City. The price for Arsenal is 100-30, and the draw price is 13-5. This is the top team away at the fourth place team. We know all about Manchester City's tremendous home record, and this season it's probably better than most other seasons as well in the Premier League. 3-0 Swansea, 6-0 Tottenham, 7-0 Norwich, 3-1 Everton, 4-1 Manchester United, 2-0 Hull, and 4-0 Newcastle United. Absolutely stand out. Of course, the only defeat for a long time was that defeat to Norwich, and the 3-2, which we don't really like to talk about when Ron's around. The 3-2 to Manchester United last season as well. But they don't draw many games, let alone lose. Arsenal have got a bit of a record though, and they've scored more goals than any other team away at Manchester City in the Premier League. That's 28. No team has won more Premier League games against Man City than Arsenal. 21. So joint with Chelsea, or one more on City's own ground. Arsenal have won 10 times at City's home ground. That's the same record as Chelsea as well. Obviously, a lot of these stats and figures do tend to refer to the pre-money bags at Manchester City. Two most clinical teams in the Premier League as well, Ron. City score with 20.6% of their shots. Arsenal with 18.9%. Are we in for a goal fest here, Ron?
I wouldn't have thought so. No. I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, I think it's been overlooked a little bit. Forget last night to a certain extent. It's been overlooked a little bit that a big part of Arsenal's success has been that they have developed a better defensive unit over the last 9 months. I mean, you know, we talk about all the creative midfield players and all the fine attacking play, but I would think They've kept more clean sheets than they've done since the halcyon days of the Adams backline,
yeah,
haven't they? I would have thought so. They seem to keep, even last week, you know, we look at it and they think, is that a point drop? But, you know, they didn't keep a clean sheet, but they, you know, they didn't let many in. And I think I'm just looking at it now, I think City will just shade this, you know.
Yeah.
The only thing that sticks in a little bit, do teams win every home game? You know, is there a blip somewhere along the way? And when I say a blip, I mean a draw. You know, when you look at those figures, they go 1-1, 1-1, 1-1.
Yeah.
There's often, even the most successful teams, there's a cross in there. Or,
yeah, well, that Norwich game, I suppose, is a good example, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Manchester United one before that. I mean, they'd got, before that Manchester United defeat, though, Ron, the 3-2, the last time they'd lost at home was in December of 2010. So it went from December 2010 to December 2012.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Crazy.
I mean, I think that's, I've said all along this year, Derek thinks they're the strongest squad in the league, and he's probably right. But I think the fact that their away record is nowhere near, it might improve before the end of the season, I'm sure it will, but the fact that their away record is nowhere near the home record,
that's a problem,
suggests that maybe there's a little bit of a character flaw there, or there's a bit of complacency when they go away from home.
Yeah, maybe.
At home they are invincible almost, and I'm going to have to go for them to win by the odd goal.
That winning margin bet, so to win by a goal, so you've got all sorts of different scores on your side. It's not usually available, but it's basically the same bet as when you look at the match handicaps. This is a column that I don't think anyone ever touches because it involves maths. The handicap tie, Man City minus a goal versus Arsenal plus a goal. That's effectively a winning goal margin of one. So that's 14-5, the price for that. To counteract all those stats that I was going on about, and I tried to entice you guys into saying it'd be a goal fest, Derek. The actual recent games between these two, you've only seen 7 goals in the last 6 meetings between the two of the sides at both venues.
And
look at, I mean, going on about the goals at home for City, and they've been, I think, 29 has it scored. Well, look how many they've conceded. 2. I mean, what an aggregate that is.
It is. Well,
I mean,
it's an aggregate of four, a third, every game. They win by four goals.
And that includes Tottenham, it includes Everton, it includes Manchester United, and, you know, like Newcastle United, but, you know, that...
Yeah. Well, if every team in the Premier League played to their ultimate best every single week, City would walk the league by about 27 points.
Well, that would be right.
I mean, they are that good. And, you know, the thing is, Lee, I'm restricted here in this match to go on using logic. I can't go on odds because you look at Man City at 4-5 and think, well, City 4-5 at home, I'm going to back that all day. And then you see the same Arsenal 100-30 away, I'm going to back that all day. So, you know, I can't get enticed by either of the odds, but I think City are massively a better side than Arsenal. Finished 1-1 last season, all the attacking players on display, and two centre-halves scored, Julian Lescott and Lauren Koscielny got a late equaliser. The season before, City won 1-0. The season before that, Arsenal won 3-0 at the Etihad. Do you remember that?
Something weird happened.
Yeah, Boyata got sent off in the first 5 minutes, so they played against 10 men.
Who was he got sent off?
Dedrick Boyata.
I know something weird happened in that.
But, I mean, City come into this game with an extra day to prepare. You know, that's a big thing because it's Saturday lunchtime kickoff. They come into it with a fantastic result under their belt. They've rested players and Arsenal didn't. Mm. I mean, it's all set up for a comfortable City win, and I actually think that's what will happen.
One more stat. They've scored in 57 consecutive home games in the Premier League.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just
I would just about shade City.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, if you want to correct scores, Ron, 1-0 City is 8-1. 2-1 City is 15-2. Then 3-2, you know, you're saying by win by a goal. 3-2 is 22-1. But on the stats, maybe the 1-0 might be it. Because Arsenal have been away and shut up shop against Borussia Dortmund, didn't they?
I mean, Arsenal, I think, defensively, have become a far better side. You know, the unit, I mean, I was well on top of the centre-half, and I still think I'm right, but somehow or other they seem to have solved the problem with him. But when you look at Aguero, and then you look at Negredo, you think, cool, they're going to give him a few twists and turns, aren't they? He might have a cartilage operation after.
You have to untie his legs.
I wouldn't be surprised to see it like 1-0. All square half time, and then, you know, a late goal. But I'd be absolutely amazed if it was a goal fest.
Yeah. Draw at half time. Man City winning the game is 19-5. See that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So a narrow City win for you, Ron, with that draw in Man City as the maybe a nice bit of value there, and you're just going for a City win, Derek.
Yep, definitely.
4-5. Headline offers: Aguero to score in a City win is 9-4, and Giroud to score in an Arsenal win is 7-1. The stat that they give you on this one is the clinical thing that I mentioned with those percentages. So they've offered 5 or more goals in the match at 4-1. It'd be nice, but
I can't see that.
No, me neither. For what it's worth. The 5:30 game is Hull versus Stoke.
Now this is the one. This is what we want to ruin. This is what we want on TV.
Man City Arsenal is an hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, exactly.
This is steak. This one.
Stoke.
5-4 Hull. 21-10 the draw. 12-5 the price for Stoke City in this one. The respective league positions. Stoke are in 13th and Hull are in 12th. Just a point separate. Separating them, and just a goal in the goal difference separates them as well. So not much between these two sides. Of course, Hull getting a draw at Swansea last time out. That was the first draw they've had for a while, actually, in the Premier League since they drew 0-0 with Aston Villa. Been a win and mostly losses in there. Stoke's last game, of course, was that 3-2 win over Chelsea when, if we're being fair about it, Chelsea should have put them to bed in the first half, but they didn't. And Stoke plugged on, and Asaidi scored an absolute blinder. It's one of those where they say the ball stayed hit. You know, it stops moving in the air. I love those shots. Interesting game this. I mean, it won't be one for the purist. Hull play a fairly direct brand of football, tend to hit the wings and get a lot of corners, and we know Stoke, however much they try and change, they're still a direct kind of side. You know, it's not a long ball, it's just more direct. Could this be better than we're letting on, Derek?
No, it would be ten times worse. I watched that Hull Swansea game the other night, and it was I'm a football nut. I'll watch anything, but I was switching off. I just couldn't watch it. It was awful. And so many Hull games are like that. So many Stoke games are like that too. You know what, Lee? We always go on, you know, the under 2.5 and under 1.5. And under 1.5 is never less than 2-1, is it? Well, it's 13-8 here. I mean, that tells I mean, Hull have scored seven goals in seven home games. Stoke have scored seven goals in seven away games. I mean, you know, goals aren't at a premium when these play. Well, goals aren't a plenty, I should say. I can't back Hull at such a short price.
Who's won at Hull? Somebody's won at Hull, haven't they? Not many.
One team have. I can't remember who it was now.
Well, at Hull, you mean?
At Hull.
Yeah, it was Crystal Palace 1-1.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And he only had
10 men as well, didn't he?
Yeah, Hull did pepper the goal a bit, didn't they? Yeah. They're a bit unlucky, Hull, in that one.
I've got a sneaking feeling, Lee, that Stoke are overpriced here. I mean, I was normally I like to get 3-1 in a game like this. They're only, 12-5. But after watching Hull the other night, I can't believe that Stoke aren't capable of going there and winning. I'm going to go for an away win.
Yeah,
the odds are sway me on that one, funnily enough. Yeah. It wouldn't be with a strong conviction, but I think it's just the fact that there's little between the two teams, and the odds would sway me on that.
Yeah. Bit of a bogey team for Hull Stoke. They've only won one of the last eight league matches against them, drawing four and losing three. And in the head-to-head between the managers, this is the 13th Premier League meeting between Steve Bruce and Mark Hughes, obviously former teammates at Manchester United. Six wins for Mark Hughes and four for Steve Bruce, if that comes into your thinking at all. It's an interesting... They're actually in decent form, Ron, as well. Hull have only lost one of the last eight Premier League home games, and Stoke have only lost one of the last six Premier League games, full stop. There are lots of draws in there. Is the draw not...
The draw's feasible. What price was the draw?
21-10, just over.
2-1. Yeah. Let's work on the premise. I don't think Stoke will get beaten, and I think that it's a better price to win, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, just a better price.
I think that would be my thinking on it.
I've been impressed this season. He's a player who really hasn't really reached the potential that many people thought he would, but he seems to be a lot trimmer this year. And Stephen Ireland's really starting to motor in this Stoke team, isn't he? He's priced up to score in this game at 4-1.
That's a very good price.
He's a good player, isn't he? His weight's been a problem in the past, hasn't it?
His thinking's been a big problem.
There's been a lot that's been a problem, really, hasn't there?
He looked to have it all a few years ago, didn't he? I don't know what's happened to his career, but yeah, he looked the part last week, and he's definitely got something. And 4-1, he looked like a second striker, didn't he?
He'll play behind Crouch because Walters is banned, isn't he? Walters at a run of consecutive Premier League games ended, didn't he? And he's banned for this one.
Let's
have a look at the Sunday game, shall we? You've got 2 1:30 games, Norwich versus Swansea and Aston Villa versus Manchester United. Which one do you think's on the telly?
Oh, you're not going to say Norwich Swansea.
No, it's Villa. They've done the right thing this time. It's Villa versus Manchester United. 4-1 Aston Villa at home. 5-2 the price for the draw, and 8-11 for Manchester United. I suppose, Ron, everyone will just be happy at Man U that everyone's talking about City and Arsenal and everyone else because they got the job done, didn't they, in Europe and finished top of the group. It's funny how sometimes you often see a team can't quite reproduce the form in the domestic leagues that they can in Europe. I mean, no qualms about what they've done in Europe this season, Ron, and David Moyes should be given some credit for that while he's been given all the stick for the Premier League form.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Although, having said that, I think if he'd have failed to come through that group,
true,
I think he'd have taken on merciful flack.
Yep.
I can recall somebody saying that it might even have been David himself saying before, this is, you know, what a hard group.
Yeah, it was.
And I've got to be honest, I looked at that. I thought,
no, Fergie said it wrong, didn't he? So this is one of the hardest groups that Man United have ever had.
I looked at that and I thought,
that's mind games from afar, isn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't. Real Sociedad were very poor.
You know what? This is United's most favourite ground, apart from Old Trafford, you know.
Yeah, won one of 35 Premier League games.
1995, when kids can't win the league, was the last time they got a result there, Villa.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Unbelievable.
This, to me, represents their best chance of getting a result. Mm-hmm. I don't mean a win. I think... you know, the very fact that we, you know, United have come under a merciful flak for the Goodison, the Everton and the Newcastle game. But in the last three games, they've still only conceded two goals, you know, without playing over well.
Yeah.
And our Villa at home, capable of doing that. I actually think it's a good bet for a draw, you know.
Yeah.
I do. I don't think Villa will win the game, but I think it's a standout draw for me.
Yeah,
I like the look of the draw as well, Lee. I mean, you know, Villa. I never fancy Villa at home. I just never do. It might work in their favour that Man United might have all the possession and that, and then it'll be almost like an away game.
Yeah,
for Villa.
See that kind
but
of.
You, but you could have said that in every other time they played United at home, when they've hardly had a kick. So I'm not going for Man United at 8-11 either, by the way, because you just don't back Man United odds on it at the moment. They're just not good enough. So yeah, process of elimination, the draw.
Yeah, there's a lot of stats along with that one that Ron was quoting. They are generally Man United's bunnies, and Rooney loves a game against them as well. He's scored 10 goals against Aston Villa. Is he playing in this one, actually?
Yeah.
He's available, isn't he?
Yeah, Rooney. Yeah.
He scored 10 goals against Villa, joint highest tally against an opponent in the Premier League history. So if you like Rooney to score in this one, he enjoys it. And him to score in a Man United win is 2-1. Rooney just to score in the game is even money. So
he's 5-1 to score two or more.
What's a one-all draw?
One-all draw is priced up at 13-2.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
As well, along with that kind of, you know, the stat that's been bandied about the last time they lost back-to-back home games was 2002. They haven't won in four either, Ron, have they? Suddenly they do need a win. Will they go? Don't you think they'll go and really try and win this? Will they be cautious?
Well, then, no, they'll try and win it.
Yeah.
Well, let's say they'll try and win it. I mean, the DNA is to try and go and win it. It might well be that David Moyes, in his own way, says, "All right, let's make sure we don't get beat first."
Yeah.
It may well be that. But I think even if they try and win it, I mean, there's a suggestion now that whether Van Persie plays or not, I don't know. But I think Villa, the lift, I mean, you've never been to that game, Derek, have you? It's always a great atmosphere, you know. That. Oh, you might have done when you're in the Midlands.
What, Villa?
No, the Villa Man U.
Oh, yeah, no. I wouldn't go to a Man United game, didn't Ron? Villa, I went to Villa Park loads
of
times.
No, what I'm saying is that game is it always has a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of them great British English games, I think, or occasions. Yeah, I'm still going to stick. I'm going to go for 1-1. I quite like that, and I like the price, actually.
Yeah. Derek, what are you looking at then?
I'm going to, yeah, 1-1 sounds a decent bet to me. Yeah. I don't see United being a bet at odds on.
No. Remember, Man United have failed to keep one clean sheet in the last 11 Premier League games, which I'm sure that must be getting on for being a record if it's not already. Let's move on to the 4 o'clock game, which is another cracker. Tottenham versus Liverpool. 6-4 the price for Tottenham at home. Liverpool are priced up at 15-8, and it's 11-5 the price for the draw. As we record, they're recording this on Thursday this week, and Tottenham are playing in the Europa League, of course. Later on as we record this, it should be a bit of a gimme. They're at home, already qualified against Angie McCatchkula, so we're expecting a weakened team. I hope I'm not made to look stupid on that one. As for Liverpool, well, second position after two fantastic home games for them. 5-1 win over Norwich, and then they put four past West Ham with goals from all over the place. So a crazy game that one, wasn't it? If you cast our minds back, it was three own goals in that match in the end, weren't there? Demel, O'Brien and Skirtle.
No, it's just been given the goal.
And
rightly so, by the way. I can never understand why he wasn't given it in the first place.
Yeah, it did seem a strange one, that, didn't it? I didn't see that. So Suarez got two again then in that case. Yeah. He scored six in two home games, that means then. Unbelievable. And he's obviously scoring wherever he plays. What do you reckon to this one then, Derek? I mean, you've been a big fan of Tottenham before.
They haven't done it though, have they?
Not been impressive, have they?
No.
They've had a bit of a comeback since that 6-9 thrashing, haven't they? 7-9
The performances haven't been... No one's been raving about the performances, Ron, have they?
But the game results. Results bring performances.
But Fulham and Sunderland, Ron, that's all they've beaten.
And
Man United, they only got a point out of.
Yeah, and home is where the problem's been as well, really, hasn't it? With the fans and the fact that the fans aren't too... I mean, you look at the home form in the Premier League, they've won one game in the last five, and that was against Hull City. Fair enough, the two draws were against Chelsea and Man United, so you know, not decrying that, they're very good points, but lost to West Ham and lost to Newcastle by a goal and 3-0.
Vertonghen out.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, of course, Sturridge and Gerrard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, all of a sudden you go, ooh, Now, that does throw a big emphasis, doesn't it, on Suarez? I mean, every week we look at him, but we think he's going to get some very good support players. He's probably his two best support players are going to be missing.
Mm. Yeah. On the plus side, though, Henderson's out as well.
So you're looking, what are you looking at then? Alan and Lucas in the middle of the park. You're looking at, aren't you, really, I suppose?
Yeah, Coutinho will be playing, of course.
Yeah, Coutinho, he'll play just behind you. So Sterling, Henderson, Allen and Lucas would be a four in the midfield. Doesn't look that strong all of a sudden, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It might not be that, but, you know, that's what you'd imagine. I mean, yeah, it looks quite weak, that, in fact.
Well, it does, but when you've got Suarez in the team,
well,
you know,
anything can happen.
You keep coming back to him all the while, don't you?
Yeah.
And then, who was the game? He had an awful away game. Who was that one again?
When they lost
3-1.
He was awful. Yeah.
When we thought he'd run them ragged.
They thought that was something to do with it. He'd been to Europe. He'd been on an international duty two games before, hadn't he?
Yeah.
They've got a bad record at White Hart Lane, actually, Liverpool. I think Tottenham have won the last 6 matches in all competitions when Liverpool have visited their ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll have some confidence here
at
Tottenham.
Their away record at Liverpool is poor, isn't it? Because, you know, they're battling everyone at Anfield, but 2 wins in 7 away.
It's a bit like
home.
City, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Like, too dissimilar to City's. Yeah.
Well, I can't trust Liverpool away from home. I mean, that whole performance was an absolute shocker. So why on earth would you back them at 15-18? But Tottenham haven't done enough this season. They've been a big disappointment to me, Tottenham. They ain't done enough to back them at 6-4. I mean, it looks all up. The draw's the biggest price, and it looks all over a draw to me, this one. Really does. I mean, it'd be a low-scoring one as well. Tottenham only scored 7 goals at home, 3 fewer than Sunderland have at home. Sunderland bottom of the table. It tells you all you need to know, doesn't it? No, I wouldn't be surprised to see a 0-0 here.
I'd go for a Tottenham sneak.
By a single goal.
Yeah.
Soldado to score in a Tottenham win, by the way, is 4-1. 1-0 Tottenham is 17-2. 2-1 is 8-1. 3-2, if you think it's going to be an absolute classic, is 25-1.
I'd be amazed if it's that.
Yeah.
But haven't Tottenham got some stats? I mean, you're the stats man. I only go on what I see, but you're the stats man. Haven't Tottenham had more shots than any other team?
Yeah.
Did you come up with that stat?
Yeah, we said that the other week, didn't we?
More shots on target as well, wasn't it? More, the goalie saved. You know, we kept out a million shots.
Yeah. It's
interesting to see in the paper today, Sandro, the Tottenham midfielder, was giving it, really praising Coutinho, the Liverpool. They both played for Brazil, obviously, and he reckons he's almost as good as Ronaldinho. Praise indeed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Hope he hasn't got the same dentist.
The other stat is that the penalties, there've been more penalties in this fixture than any other game. And they've given us the offer of 3-1 that there's a penalty awarded in the match. 17, by the way, is the amount they've had in Premier League history. One other game has equaled that. That's Everton versus Newcastle, interestingly. So 3-1 for a penalty to be awarded in the match. Doesn't seem big enough to me, that, do
it? No,
just instinctively, it seems a bit skinny. But
they're saying there's a pen won every 4 games. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, not sure about that.
Yeah. So a skinny Tottenham win for you, right?
Yeah.
And
nailed on draw for me.
And the draw for you. 11-5 the draw. The draw with both teams to score in the game is priced up at 3-1 if you fancy that. So that basically covers off a 1-1, 2-2 and anything
7-0.
Bigger than that. Yeah, 7-0. Let's have a look at the non-TV game, starting with Everton versus Fulham. 4-11 the price for Everton to win this one at home. Fulham are away and priced up at 17-2 and the draw is priced up at 7-2. Well, the new coach has had an impact. Played all right against Tottenham in a 2-1 defeat, and then beat Aston Villa by 2-0 with Berbatov scoring after Sidwell had given them the lead. Everton continued to do very little wrong and impressing everyone. The 1-1 draw away at Arsenal, when Ötzel scored after 80 minutes, you thought, well, that's probably Arsenal see this game out, but the wonder kid, Delafu, on loan from Barcelona, was the man who levelled it for them. Everton at home against Fulham, I mean, 4-11, Derek, it's well short. I mean, it's short for a reason, though, isn't it? Fulham are terrible away from home.
Well, you know what, Lee, normally in any other season I'd look at Everton 4-11 I just wouldn't touch him. I mean, I know Everton as well as anyone. You never back him at those kind of odds. But this time, I can't see anything other than an Everton win. I think they've been sensational in recent weeks. Even that 3-3 draw against Liverpool, they should have won that, you know. I mean, I didn't admit it at the time, obviously, but they should have won that game. They've been tremendous in 2 games since. They were a better team than Arsenal last week. I don't think they've got a weakness. I really don't. If they had Suarez in their team, I've been telling blue noses in the pub all week, if you had Suarez, they'd probably be challenging big time for the title. I mean, that's how near they are in my eyes to it, especially in this season when there isn't an outstanding team. Well, at least until City get their boots on. So, yeah, I mean, that's how highly I rate them, and they'll walk all over Fulham. You know, I'm not getting worked up by that victory for Fulham last week. They're still a poor side. And yeah, Everton will win this.
Ron?
I would fancy Everton. I mean, you just hesitate a little bit. I mean, I'm surprised there with Derek. What were they, 17-2?
Yeah.
Normally that comes right into your sort of...
But Fulham away, and they've got the Berbatovs and the Bents. They're not going to try a leg, are they?
Yeah, new manager impacts, you know, and all that sort of thing. They've got a win under the belt, albeit a home win, but they've got one under the belt. I would have thought you'd have been clambering.
Anybody else but Fulham, Ron, I would, but I just can't have them.
Okay. Well, I mean, I must admit, I fancy Everton. And you look at the Lukaku situation and think, yeah, can he fill his boots? I was talking to somebody in the Man United camp last week that wasn't as respectful of that the coaches people sort of made out.
Who's this one? Which one are you on about? Martinez?
No, Rennie. What's his name?
Oh, Milenstein. Yeah. I've got my doubts as well, by the way.
Yeah. So. Until he perfects that Manchester accent, he's almost got.
I know. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to go for Everton. I might even go 3-0. With Lukaku 2.
3-0 Everton is 8-1. Lukaku to score 2 or more is 5-2. So we can't make that bet up on the website, but you can go and ask for it. Ask the traders for the price on that. Everton to win 2-0, by the way, is 5-4.
That's the kind of bet I'd go for.
Newcastle Southampton 7-5. Newcastle the Saints 2-1, and it's 9-4 the price for the draw in this one. Newcastle United, of course, last game went to Manchester United and recorded a famous victory, and well deserved it was as well. They tactically did a job on Manchester United. As for Southampton, well, no win in 4 games now. 2-0 defeat to Arsenal, 3-1 defeat to Chelsea, 3-2 defeat to Villa, and they drew 1-1 with Manchester City, when other teams have been beating them away from home when they haven't performed. Which way does this one go, Ron? Newcastle at home to Southampton?
Well, you know, I've got a lot of time for Newcastle, yeah, particularly when they all play like they should do. But I've got a feeling Southampton will go there. The performance against City was very good, wasn't it?
They've
gone back to that closing out and working the socks off, and I think they'll do the same against Newcastle. I think Southampton might go there and get a draw out of the game.
Mm.
That little belief they had of closing out and working hard, and that was there again against City. And I think they'll have to do it against Newcastle, but I just think they might just go there and frustrate them and get a draw, and possibly a score draw.
Yeah. Could be a low-scoring one as well, though. I mean,
yeah.
Newcastle haven't scored more than 2 in a home league game since last February when they beat Southampton 4-2.
Yeah.
Funny how these little things work out. And Southampton have only scored 6 in their last 10 away games.
Exactly. Well, they've only scored 5 goals away from home all season, haven't they, Southampton? Yeah. You know, you know what you're going to get from Saints on the road. They some other teams, and, you know, I don't think this is going to be a great game to watch. And just before you said it's low on goals, I was looking at the total match goals, and our old favourite, under 1.5, generally hovers around the 2-1 mark. Well, this is 5-2, Lee, for a game which, on the coupon, looks as likely as anything to be a low scorer.
Yeah.
That's a shade of value there. The outright, I find it tough to pick. I wouldn't be surprised to see a draw, you know, a nil-niller. But, yeah, I like that one the best. Under 1.5 goals, 5-2.
I don't know what it is about Southampton, but they breed good penalty takers, don't they? They've won 52 penalties in the Premier League, and they've scored 50 of the 52.
Well, that is incredible, isn't it?
96%.
Letizia's missed one of them. Who's missed the other?
Has Lambert never missed, has he?
No, I don't know, but Premier.
Yeah, Premier.
A lot of his penalties would have been outside the Premier as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I know Letizia missed one.
He did, against?
If I was betting money, and I might be wrong here, I might say Notts Forest.
I've got no idea.
He's good.
Was it Boris?
And the name of the keeper was
Crossley. Is it Crossley?
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah,
that.
Well done, Ronaldo.
That I only know it because I was doing a thing with Matt Letizia the week, and I asked him. I wouldn't have known that. Yeah,
I've got to be honest. I spent more time trying to buy him when I was.
Did you?
Letizia. Yeah. Oh, that Ian Bramford used to drive me up the wall. I think he got frightened of letting him go, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, because he's a folk hero, wasn't he, there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, if they get a penalty, they'll score it, no doubt. Just a quick recap, then. Draw for you?
Yeah. I'm going under. I can't pick an outright winner in this game, but I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals or 5-2.
Yeah. The draw and unders on the goals might take a few of your fancies. That gives you a 0-0 and a 1-1, of course.
Yeah. I think there'll be a goal. I think there'll be a goal. If I had the sort of logic of that, I think I'd go for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, the draw and under 2.5, so covers off 0-0, is 16-5, and the 1-1 scoreline is 6-1. Next up, let's have a look at the game between Cardiff and West Brom. 8-5 Cardiff, 21-10 the draw, and West Brom are priced up at 9-5. Cardiff are an interesting one, aren't they? You're never quite sure where they're going to end up in the table. These two teams are almost in free fall, Derek. Cardiff haven't won a Premier League game since the 3rd of November. West Brom haven't won a Premier League game since the 2nd of November. A couple of draws and three losses for both teams in the last five games. Almost identical form.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the fear of defeat will be paramount here. Neither of them can afford to lose this game, can they?
No.
It's Cardiff especially. But West Brom, you suspect they've got enough to get out of trouble. Cardiff, you know, the warning signs are writ large. And you know what, Cardiff are not exactly a gung-ho team under Malky Mackay. It screams a stalemate, this one. Again, it's the biggest price of the three, Lee. Real tough one to call for punters, this one. Anyone who says there's going to be a definite winner here, I'd like them to explain to me how they've come to that conclusion. It's a real tough one. A draw for me again.
Well, just sit there and listen. Because I'm fancying Cardiff.
Right.
I think, funnily enough, I said last... One of my tips to be very much in trouble this year was West Brom. And just on the deadline, they signed a few players, Sessegnon and Ichibi, and just a few more, just to add a little bit. And I thought, they might be a little bit better with the early performances. And you thought, yeah. But if you check their record since last Christmas, they'd probably have taken less points, I would guess, than any other Premiership side. Because they had a great start last season. They went up to third before Christmas last
year. That's right, yeah.
After Christmas, they've done absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
and they had a little flurry this year. You know, they should have won at Chelsea. They go to Old Trafford and win, you know, things like that. But they've had some dreadful results. I think Cardiff, actually, I think this is one of the games, if Cardiff are going to have a chance of staying up, this is one they've got to win. And I think they might. I think it'll be one of them up and at them blood and thunder jobs and home advantage sees them through.
Well, it'd be interesting to see. Adam Wingie, you might well probably be playing, wouldn't he?
Oh, there's what, Derek, that is a plum.
Yeah.
That is the one. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he'll get the one. Have you seen the price, Derek, by the way?
Pardon?
I was going to mention him, but have you seen the price for him to score at home against West Brom?
Go on.
15-8. Nearly 2-1 to score.
Because he's not even guaranteed to start, is he? He got left out, didn't he, in the last game?
If he doesn't start, you don't lose anything on that. The other one, Peter Whittingham scored in his last two games against West Brom.
Well, he was the one I was going to put down. He is actually somebody that should be playing in a better team.
130 years to score in this game as well.
You know what, Ron? You've mentioned him before. Sorry, Lee, for interrupting.
Oh, no, fine.
Ron has given him a bit of a write-up in a couple in previous weeks. And he's one of these fellas who's just escaped my radar. I've never really watched him, but I'm still... I don't really see enough of him to make, but I'm surprised that you speak so highly of him.
Got a terrific left foot.
Yeah.
Great. And oddly enough, I mean, he's been converted. He started as a winger, played left back, and I always remember the guys and the coaching staff at the Villa telling me, said, he is the best left back we've gotten and we're going to get rid of him. As a left back now, since he's been converted into a midfield player that weighs in with some goals.
Yeah. I'll keep an eye on him anyway.
His delivery is terrific.
Yeah.
You're going for a Cardiff win, Ron?
Yeah. I'll throw Whittingham in as a scorer.
Oh, right, okay.
Free kick, edge of the box, chips the keeper, left hand. That's the keeper's left hand, nobody on the line.
I like it. The price for a Peter Whittingham goal in a Cardiff win is 6-1. So.
You get a bit bigger if you describe it so eloquently.
Yeah, you get 60-1 if it happens like that. That's not me quoting the price. I'm not allowed to do that, by the way, before you start. And Derek?
Draw for me.
A draw. Let's have a look at the next one. West Ham versus Sunderland. Even money, 9-4, 3-1 of the prices, going from left to right. This one's probably rivaling Hull Stoke's game of the weekend. Yeah. I would suggest. It's interesting with Sunderland, Derek, isn't it? Because for all the kind of they seem to be improving slightly, or the performance did. Well, actually, you look at the results and they're not, are they? They haven't had that effect that they were hoping to have. When you look at maybe Palace have had a bit of a lift from Pulis, and maybe Fulham are having a bit of a lift from their new manager. Sunderland's chance might have gone.
Well,
they missed the boat.
They won a couple of home games, haven't they?
Yeah, they did. But since then, Ron, I mean, that's a little while ago now.
The 5 points adrift. Crystal Palace was something like about 1-33 a couple of weeks ago down, and they are 5 points adrift of Crystal Palace. Yeah. Remember me saying on air at 5-1 to finish bottom, it was a bet of all time.
Yeah, you could get 5. I mean, when we talked about that, a few weeks ago, they were 5-1 to be bottom at Christmas, Derek, if you remember.
Yeah. And you lumped on, didn't you?
I've cashed in on it now.
Could only lose a tiny bit of money. Were 5-1, were they?
To finish, if you got a bottom at Christmas, it was. Derek was exactly right about that. And the head-to-head, they were way overpriced against Palace.
Yeah.
We didn't know about the Pulis factor then, obviously, but then it's helped, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, big time.
Do you know if what they call it? Here's one for you. If you had to pick a team out the West Ham and Sunderland, I wonder who'd have the most players in the team.
Good one. Yeah. You know what, Ron? I'm just looking at it because I was about to say, Sunderland are 3-1 to win this game, and I don't see them being any. I know they're 5 points behind. I don't see them being any worse than West Ham. I really don't.
But you really think whoever they're going to play, can they score a goal?
Only when they score three that they win.
I'm just going to look at that record now, and that was the last one, wasn't it? The 3-0, the last game.
Pete Fulham, yeah.
Yeah. They conceded, they got beat 3-0 by somebody, that must have been Chelsea or somebody like that.
Yeah, it was.
Then no score. Mm. Then they got 1-3. Somebody scored 3 against them.
Beat Cardiff 3-2 in the League Cup.
Was it?
Everton beat them 3-2 at home, yeah.
And you look at that, I wouldn't be surprised to see Sunderland not get beat. Whether they're good enough to go there and win, I don't know.
Yeah. No Nolan for this one, by the way. No Nolan for this one either. He's bad. It was a bad challenge.
Tell me the prices.
The prices, Sunderland are 3-1 to win. If you had them to the draw, no bet, so money back if it's a draw, but you still get paid out if they win, it's 7-4. And Sunderland and the draw is priced up at 3-4, so just a bit of odds on there. So, but you're getting both results.
The other little thing, is this a Saturday game?
Yeah, 3:00.
I might just be tempted to go Sunderland in this one. They went to Villa Park 2 weeks ago and didn't half play well,
3-1. No shot side should beat 3-1 to beat West Ham, not even West Ham reserves. I just think they're just so there for the taking. Sunderland are just over. Sunderland are no great takes, we know that, but they're playing a side equally as bad.
Chelsea versus Crystal Palace is the last of the 3:00 Saturday games. We've got one more to do after this one. 5-1 on Chelsea. Palace are priced up at 14-1, and it's 5-1 the price for the draw. One of the biggest prices away from home we've seen this season. We don't tend to get those 20s anymore generally. Chelsea 1-0 winners over Steaua Bucharest. Demba Ba scoring did the job. They had that another blip. They keep having these little blips, and then they come back and are pretty strong after them, to be fair. The blip was the 3-2 defeat at Stoke. Whatever Pulis thinks here, whatever impact he's had, Ron, this is asking quite a lot to get anything out of Chelsea.
It has, and I would guess, during a quick read, he's had some kick-ins, hasn't he, at Stamford Bridge?
His worst ever Premier League defeat came here, 7-0.
7-0 or something. Yep. I remember them getting well-tongued a year or two back. But there's a freshness about them, but there's no logic to say they can win, is there? They'll have a go. Chelsea are misfiring to a certain extent, but somehow or other you see Chelsea seeing it through.
Yeah. And there's still that record that Mourinho's got, isn't it? Yeah. If it's going to end, it's not going to be ended by Palace, is it?
No. I would look at that and go for. I think that might be one of my 2-0s.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I think they might want me to. Nothing. Yeah,
you could see that, couldn't you? Just getting the job done. The last time they won 2-0, by the way, Chelsea at home, was against Fulham. Since then, they've beaten Cardiff 4-1, City 2-1, drew 2-2 with West Brom, and 3-1 against Southampton. The 2-0 in this game is priced up at 11-2. Derek, what's your thinking?
Well, Ron has read Chelsea right all season. They're not a side you can trust any longer. You know, they're not, are they? That Stoke defeat last week when they looked as though they only had to turn up, really. Imagine, you look at the players they've got, and they should, you know, they should be doing an awful lot better, shouldn't they? There's hardly been a Chelsea performance this season when you thought, yeah, that's them back. Maybe one half against someone a couple of weeks ago, but I don't know what it is. There's something not quite right there. Palace ain't going to win this, even though last season, remember, QPR was similarly priced at Chelsea and won 1-0. Remember that midweek game? Absolute shocker. Sooner or later, though, if Chelsea get it right, they're going to give someone a tonking. And Chelsea minus two goals here, so they've got to win by three or more. It's 6-4, 29-20, 6-4. Yeah. I'll have a go at that.
Final game is that one that I mentioned earlier on. Norwich versus Swansea. This is a 1:30 kickoff on Sunday because Swansea are playing in the Europa League tonight as we record this one. The prices, 17-10 the price for Norwich. The draw is 21-10 and Swansea are priced up at 17-10 as well, so it's a bit of a pick'em this one. Norwich league position is 14th with 17 points, 2 points back from Swansea, who are 10th. Swansea are in Switzerland as we speak, so they've got that disadvantage of having to travel back from Switzerland and then go all the way to Norwich. Again, it's one of those where you don't know which one's the worst journey, Ron. To be fair,
I tell you what, Norwich is probably harder to get to.
Yeah, it is.
But they had a good win last week, Norwich.
Two good home wins. 3-1 West Ham, 1-0 Palace, doing everything, you're beating the teams around you. And all
I mean, I'm fancying them. I'm fancying Norwich to win the game. And the price is quite attractive, isn't it?
Yeah. I think all, if you make an argument, all three are attractive, actually.
For a home game against somebody that are nowhere near unbeatable. 17-10, did you say?
Yeah.
So. I would fancy Norwich to take that. I'd fancy Norwich to win the game. Mm-hmm. If you go into the game with just forgetting all the odds, I think you'd be. I'd be looking at Norwich to win it. Mm-hmm. And a decent price, yeah, I'd go for Norwich. Yeah.
Usually a goal fest this, the Derek. 20 goals scored in 4 Premier League matches between the two of them.
Bloody hell, that is amazing.
Yeah, I can't see that, in all fairness.
I can't either.
Meechu's scored plenty for in those fixtures, and Robert Snodgrass has scored in both Premier League games for Norwich against Swansea, and he also assisted 2 goals as well, so he loves playing against...
And is he back now, is he?
Playing against... he scored. Yeah. He's priced up at 7-2 to score in this game.
Did he have a big win? Was it at Swansea 3-4 or something like that in the last couple of years?
These fixtures that I've just mentioned, 3-1 Norwich at home, Norwich beat them 3-2 away, they won 4-3 away and 2-2, so even when Swansea were kind of like lauded as the team, Norwich have done them twice, scoring 3-2 and 4-3. I mean, like I say, goal fest.
It's a long time ago since Swansea came back from Europe and won. I think the last time they did that was when they made that great result in Valencia, remember? Yeah. They came back flying. Yeah. Well, they would have done. And won at Crystal Palace 2-0. But they played about 4 or 5 European games since then and not won following weekend. Yeah, I like to look at Norwich here. I think that's a fair price for them, definitely.
Yeah, very good. Let's get a bet of the week from the guy.
This is a tough weekend, I have to say, to pick out a bet of the weekend. This is the toughest weekend we've had this season.
Hey, I've had some tough ones. Yeah. I'm just below Sunderland at the moment. In fact, I was going to ask Gus Poyet to pick mine.
We nominate a reserve.
Right, I'm going to come on. I'm going to go stick to basics, get back to basics. I'm going to go Chelsea 2-0.
Chelsea 2-0 is priced up at 11-2.
Oh dear me, I find this a real tough one. I'm going to go, you know what, I'm going to go for Stoke to win at Hull, 12-5.
Stoke to win at Hull is 12-5. And Robbie has texted his nap in. He is going for the draw in the Manchester United Aston Villa game. So the draw in that one is 5-2.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.